Have you ever thought to yourself, what makes a church tick? Have you ever gone on vacation and visited a church and think to yourself, well, I kind of like that a little bit, but I wonder what really makes them tick? Well, that's kind of what we're doing in this series, Core Values, because core values are what defines a church. Core values are the things that help us make the important decisions that we have to make along the way. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but when we talk about core values, you also have core values in your life. You have the framework. You have the foundations by which you make decisions. And so as we talk about the core values at Sagemont Church, I just want you to be aware of the reality that there are also core values in our life. Now, if you haven't noticed yet, you probably will in a few moments that there is kind of a medical thing going on right now. And so instead of just launching into the sermon, I think the best thing that we could do is just take a moment and pray. So let's just take a moment and have prayer together. Lord Jesus, we come to you in the name that is above every name. And we thank you for core values, but we also acknowledge that right at this moment, one of our own is struggling medically. We have no idea what it is. We thank you for trained staff that are here to care for and to love in a very specific and unique way those who struggle medically. And so we pray. And Lord, we don't want to just continue and try to ignore it. We thank you that you're here with us. And Lord, I don't know what to say to you. This has never happened for me preaching. But I know that you love the person that the medical team is helping right now. And we love the person that the medical team is helping right now. And so we just stop and say, oh, Lord Jesus, would you do something mighty? Would you work through that medical team? Would you help them? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, usually, I request that everybody listen to me while I'm preaching, but if God has it on your heart to continue praying, continue praying. But we're going to talk this morning about one of the core values of our church, which is the authority of Scripture. And I would like to say to you that the authority of Scripture is one of the most important things that we could talk about as a church family. When you decided to come to Sagemont Church, now, some of you are not members yet. Some of you are thinking about becoming a member. Some of you are praying about becoming a member. But when you decided, if you're a member here today, when you decided to become a member at Sagemont Church, what was one of the things that drew you in and you said, you know, I really identify with this church. This is the church that I want to be my church home. Was it our high view of Scripture? I hope that one of the deciding factors in your choice to become a member at Sagemont Church was the high view of Scripture that we have. And the way that we talk about that, the way that we communicate that, the way that we verbalize that is we say that we believe in the authority of Scripture. That's what we're talking about this morning as we think about the core values at Sagemont Church, the authority of Scripture. Now, I want to do a couple of things this morning. I want to help to define what it means when we say we believe in the authority of Scripture. I also want to take some time this morning and point in the Scripture and take you to some places in the Bible that highlights and demonstrates the authority of Scripture. And I also want to take some time to do some application and say, if you agree that there's authority in the Scripture, that the Scripture, that we're to have a high view of it, what does that look like in our lives? Because I know that we're always trying to figure out how to go from Bible study and sermon notes to everyday life. So those are the things that I want to do with our time here today. But one of the things that I'm not going to do, I just want to address it very quickly. I'm not going to try to prove to you that the Scripture has authority. Now, some of you are here this morning and you may not be believers. This may be the first or second time that you've ever come to a church service. And we want to welcome you. We want to say that we're glad that you're here. This is a safe place for you to think and to talk and to work out what it is that you believe about the Scripture. But I want to tell you this morning that I'm not going to spend my time trying to prove to you the authority of Scripture. But I do want to give you a resource. If you're here this morning and you're working through your views on the Bible and the authority of Scripture, I'm going to encourage you to read through a book called In Defense of the Bible. This is an academic book. It's what I call high octane, all right? It's very educated book, and it will take you through a very strong argument for the authority of Scripture. So I'm telling you this morning, I'm not here to try to prove to you. I just want to define for you what it is when we say the authority of Scripture, what it is that we're talking about, and then look to the Bible and see some places in the Scripture where we see the authority of the Bible demonstrated. Now, when we talk about the authority of Scripture, it's a fair question to start out by saying, what do you mean by authority? When you say the authority of Scripture, what are you talking about? I'm going to give you two words this morning. And if you're making notes, you can jot these down. But it really just doesn't help us to do a whole message on the authority of Scripture without defining what we mean. So when I say the authority of Scripture, I mean two things. The first word is orthodoxy. The second word is orthopraxy. And here's what I mean by those two words. Orthodoxy means it gives us correct thinking or believing. It means it's theologically accurate. When I say that the Bible is authoritative, when I say that we believe in the authority of Scripture, what I'm saying to you is we believe that the Scripture is theologically accurate, that the claims that it makes about God is accurate, but not just the claims that it makes about God, but the claims that it makes about you and the claims that it makes about me. It is accurate in speaking to us about the human condition, about who God is, what his character is like, the things that he does, the reasons that he does them. In other words, it is totally accurate in the message that it is portraying to us. Orthodoxy, correct belief, correct thinking. The second word, orthopraxy, not only when we say the authority of the Scripture are we talking about just simply believing a set of doctrine, but when we say that the Bible has authority, what we're also saying is that it should be shaping our lives. So when we talk at Sagemont Church about the authority of Scripture, we're saying that the Bible is true and it should shape our lives. And I just want for us to be clear about when we say the authority of Scripture, what it is exactly and precisely that we mean. When we say the authority of Scripture, we mean that the Bible is accurate and trustworthy and that it should shape our hearts, our minds, everything about us, our beliefs. It is true and it should change who we are. Now, one of the most exciting things for me, at least, about this message is that I get the chance to point out to you some places in the Scripture that really demonstrate the authority of Scripture. And the first thing that I want to do is I want to point you to the life of Jesus, because Jesus's life, without question, highlights the fact that in Jesus's view, the Scripture carried authority with it. So I'm going to show you three places in the Scripture that the Bible talks about in the life of Jesus, his life really affirming the authority of Scripture. Because I was sitting at my desk and I was thinking to myself, well, this isn't going to be new for some people. Some people have never thought about what type of role or what type of view they should have of Scripture. So I was thinking to myself, this is awesome. I get to introduce this concept to some people. Some of you have theology degrees and you've been thinking about this for a long time. And some of you are somewhere in the middle where you know that we believe in the Bible, but you don't exactly know exactly what we believe about the Bible. And so I was just thinking to myself, there's all of these different stages of people here. Where should I go first? And it was like God gave me the epiphany. Duh. Go to the life of Jesus. And we were talking just a little bit ago before we came out and began to lead the service. We were talking about the life of Jesus. And if you make a note, this is in Luke chapter 2. You can write it down and go back and study later. But at one point in the life of Jesus, before he began his ministry, it was before his baptism, it was when he was a young boy. At one point in Luke 2, when he was a young boy, his family traveled to the temple. And when they went to leave, they didn't realize that Jesus was not with them. And so they left Jerusalem and left Jesus behind. They get down the road. They finally figure out that he's nowhere. He's not with us. He's not with our friends. He's not with our neighbors. We've got to go back and find Jesus. So they go back and they find him in the temple. They find him with the teachers of Scripture. And this is Jesus as a young boy. And the Scripture says that when they find Jesus, he's He's there at the feet of the teachers, listening to the scripture being taught and asking questions. And I just kind of laughed as I thought to myself, because I thought, you know, as a young boy, if my parents had left town and left me in the town, who knows where they would have found me? Stop to think about that for a second. If it was you as a young child and your parents left you in a city by yourself, where would you turn up? Where would they find you the next day? But you know, Jesus' life affirmed the authority of Scripture, because at a young age, he was hungry for the Scripture. Dads, moms, that's what we need to be praying for our kids, that they be hungry for the Word of God. And so as we're looking at the Scripture and we're looking for places in the life of Jesus that affirm the authority of Scripture, certainly his hunger for the Word of God at a young age is one of them. Another place that we can look is his entire earthly ministry. If you're making notes, write this down. The Scripture was foundational to Jesus' ministry. The Scripture, the Word of God, was foundational to the life of Jesus and his ministry. Now, I say that just to lead into this question. How foundational is the Scripture for you? And I don't want to spend much time on this, but I want to move away from the Scripture and kind of get into our everyday lives, right? Get into how we operate and how we think and how we live our day-to-day life. How foundational is the Word of God to your life? Jesus taught the Scripture. When the disciples would come to him and ask him questions, he would point them back to the Scripture. Oftentimes, there were people around who did not appreciate Jesus' ministry, and so they would ask him questions, trying to catch him, trying to trick him, and Jesus would respond to them with Scripture over and over and over again. Not only at a young age was Jesus hungry for the Scripture, but the Scripture was foundational to the entire ministry of Jesus. Now, follow me here. As a young child in his ministry and all the way over here when he hung on the cross, the Scripture was important to the Lord Jesus, because while he hung on the cross, he quoted Scripture. Now, I told you a minute ago, there's no telling where my parents would have found me as a young child if they left me in a city or a town by myself. But I'm telling you, if I'm hanging on the cross and I'm staring at the people who nailed me to it, would I be quoting Scripture? And so this morning, part of the joy that I have at teaching this message is to point you to places in Scripture that affirm its authority. And the first is the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus affirms the authority of Scripture. But then you have his death, and then you have his burial, and then you have his resurrection, and then you have his ascension, where he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so the next place that I want to point you to is in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, because that also highlights and illuminates for us the authority of Scripture. Here we have the church. This is like the first generation of church. I mean, this is the church when it was first birthed out of the resurrection of Jesus. These are the first people who are followers of Jesus after he's crucified for our sins, after he's laid in the tomb, after he's resurrected and walks out of the tomb, after he ascends to the right hand of the Father. This is like generation one of followers of Jesus. And you know what they're set on? They're set on tying their life to the Word of God. Acts chapter 1, if you were to go back and just read through Acts chapter 1, here's what you would discover. That the disciples were in a very interesting / difficult / unknown / uncomfortable place in life, and they were going back to the Scripture. What does that tell us? That tells us that the Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible, is a healthy and safe place for us to run to when we have questions about life. I mean, these are the people that were walking with Jesus on this earth, and they're thrown into some difficult times. And the first thing that they do is they gather together, they unify themselves, and they start thinking about Scripture. That's an awesome thought. That demonstrates to me the authority of Scripture, not only in the life of Jesus, but in the life of his followers in the earliest of church. Acts chapter 2 tells the story of what would happen when they would come together. They would come together, they would pray together, they would eat together, amen. They were Baptists. They enjoyed a good meal together. But it also says they studied the word together in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves. This is the way they say it in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so the earliest church, not just in the life of Jesus do we see the authority of Scripture, but in the early church, we see the authority of Scripture. Not only do we find it in the Gospels and in Acts, but it's all through the Old Testament. It's all through the New Testament. I want to ask if you would to open to Psalm 119. If you would, just turn with me to Psalm 119. And we're going to look at one verse together, verse 11. And we're going to understand that this is not, the authority of Scripture is not something that began in the Gospels, but it's something that goes all the way back into the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 says, I have stored up, some of your translations will say hidden, I have stored up your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want you to see the high view of Scripture there before we move on and look at another verse. I want you to see that the author of Psalm 119, verse 11, the author does not say, I have hidden the words of men in my heart. It says, I have hidden the word of God in my heart. The author of this psalm has a high view of Scripture. The author of this psalm has a high view of the word of God. He believes in the authority of Scripture. And watch what happens here. Because he has such a high view of Scripture, he has a radical reception of it. And so some of us in the room perhaps are wondering, why don't I do what the Scripture tells me to do? Because you don't have a high enough view. I want you to see what happens. Because of the high view of Scripture, and go back and look with me, Psalm 119, verse 11. Because of the high view, there's a radical reception of the Word of God. Because the author sees the Scripture as the Word of God. And so he says, because this is the word of God, I have hidden it. I have stored it in my heart. And then you see this glorious motive behind the whole thing. I want you to notice the motive. So look with me. Look in verse 11 if you would. I have stored your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Some of you this morning, you know, Chris was leading us in that last song that we were singing. He was talking to us a little bit about being in the chains and the bondage. And some of you are stuck in your sin and you're thinking to yourself, how do I get out? Well, it is true that step one is to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. No doubt about that. But part of the answer is taking the Word of God and hiding it, storing it deep into our soul, so that we would not sin against the Lord. Turn with me over, if you would, into the New Testament, into 2 Timothy. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 16. Saying something very similar, just in a different, it's from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Very similar concept, very similar content, very similar message, just two different places. And I want to show you two different places in the Scripture that talks about the authority of Scripture. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what it says in the ESV. All Scripture is breathed by God. Now, before we read on, just think about the high view of Scripture that the author is writing with. All Scripture is breathed by God and is useful, profitable, it says, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Again, radical use of the Word of God because of the high view of the Word of God. And then I want you to see, if you would follow me through verse 17, the motive, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so what we've done over the past couple of minutes is just look in the scripture for the evidence that demonstrates to us the authority of scripture. We have defined what it means when we say authority of scripture. That means it's theologically accurate and it should shape our life. We looked at the life of Jesus. We saw that his life demonstrated to us the authority of scripture. The early churches and their behavior with the scripture demonstrate to us the authority of scripture. We've looked at an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and they have demonstrated to us the authority of scripture. And in just a moment, I want to give to you some thoughts on how we can live our lives to affirm the authority of scripture. But before I do that, I want to share with you two benefits. Maybe this morning you're listening to me and you're kind of weighing the options and you're thinking, well, I really do want to follow God. I want to love God. And I don't know if I need to live my life under the authority of scripture. I want to give you two benefits. One is confidence. When you live your life under the authority of the Word of God, you walk with confidence because you know that you are following in the tradition of followers of Jesus for hundreds and hundreds of years. And you know that your life is reflective of what it is that God's vision for your life may be. So you live with a certain level of confidence when your life affirms the authority of Scripture. Another benefit is clarity. There are some things when you live your life to affirm the authority of Scripture, it's just clear. In fact, I was talking with John Mark the other day. He's the one who talks with people about baptism, and he's the one who talks with people about joining the church. And he was sharing with me a conversation that he was having with somebody at one point in time, and they were talking to John Mark, and they were sharing with him that they were thinking about being baptized. And they were saying to him that they are a believer, that they have surrendered their life to the Lordship of Jesus, praise God. That they have repented of their sin, praise God. That they have asked the Lord Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior, praise God. And so they are a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ, but they haven't been baptized yet. And so this person was sharing with John Mark that that's what they were considering doing, and that they were going to pray about being baptized. And so that's the beautiful thing about living your life to affirm the authority of Scripture, is that there's a lot of things that just get clarified for you. And John Mark shared with that person, well, it sounds very strange for a minister to say this, but you don't need to pray about that. And they were kind of caught off guard. Said, well, we know that the Bible teaches that once a person receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they should be baptized. And so he said, I'm not telling you not to pray. Certainly pray. I want you to have a deep prayer life. I want you to have a rich prayer life. But you don't have to pray about that. You see, when you live your life under the authority of Scripture, some things are just clear for you. You don't have to pray about some things. And that's just one example. There are some things that you don't need to pray about doing, and there are some things you don't need to pray about not doing. The Scripture just clarifies them for you. And so when your life is under the authority of Scripture, it gives you this tremendous confidence in how you're living your life, but it also clarifies some things for you. So if you're wondering this morning, what can I do in my life to affirm the authority of Scripture, I'm going to give you three points before we close. First, give scripture substantial time on your calendar. Give scripture substantial time on your calendar. Wes, who leads our Bible studies, his name's Wes Holloman, one of the great, great encouraging ministers here. He and I have been praying about this, because he's known that I'm going to be teaching on the authority of Scripture. And so we were brainstorming, praying together, and talking together. What can we do to help people put it on their calendar? And so he and I have been praying through this, and here's what we want to do. In iConnect Bible Study, you may not be aware of this. At the 9:30 hour, just before this worship service, there's Bible studies. And in the 8 o'clock hour, there's Bible studies as well. And you may be coming to worship service, and you may not even realize that there are some places that you can get together and study the Bible. Well, one of the things that Wes, the minister who leads those Bible studies, and I, we've been talking about, is making a challenge, making a goal. And so here's the big goal. We want to see 200 new visitors to our iConnect Bible study classes over the next 4 weeks. And so when I say to you, put it on the calendar. When I say, if you want to live a life that affirms the authority of Scripture, the first way is to give substantial time to your calendar. We are doing everything that we can to make that possible for you. We want to tell you about Bible studies. We want to encourage you to go. We want to set the big goal of 200 guests to come. And there's classes for everybody. We have a Bible study class for newborn babies all the way up to 150. If you're 150, if you're 151, we got nothing for you. But we literally have a class for every person, every demographic, every age, every season of life. We have got you covered. And we don't just want to stand up here and tell you you need to be in Bible. We want to help you get plugged in. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing things to help you do that. But if you're not in a Bible study right now, would you think about, would you pray about? Actually, I should just take my own advice. You don't even need to pray. Remember, because it just clarifies for you. Would you get involved in a Bible study class? And we're going to help you do that. But we want to see 200 new visitors into our Bible study classes at the 8 o'clock hour or the 9:30 hour over the next 4 weeks. So that's our goal. I'm pitching it out there for you today. Please think about being a part of it. But how can I personally affirm the authority of Scripture? Number one, give Scripture substantial time on your calendar. Give it a chance. Give it a spot on your calendar. Give it the time that the Scripture needs for study and for reading. How can I personally affirm the authority of Scripture? Number two, give Scripture permanent occupancy in your mind and in your heart. Give Scripture permanent occupancy in your time, in your mind and in your heart. So we're talking about our time. If we want our lives to affirm the authority of Scripture, it has to have time in our life. But we're also talking about what we do with it. We need it to take up residence in our heart. And we need it to take up residence in our minds. Now, certainly one of the ways that you can do that is through your daily quiet times. We understand that. We understand that many of you here this morning have daily quiet times. We affirm that. We celebrate that. We're glad for that. If you don't read the Scripture on a daily basis, I want to strongly urge you to be in the Word every day. If you don't know how to do that, you can see me. I will be happy to help you learn how to have a devotional time or a quiet time. But there's another way that God's people can do the second point, where we're allowing the Word of God occupancy in our heart and in our mind. And it's not just at our quiet times, it's when we're with people. And here's what I mean by that. How many times this past week have you been around other people and Scripture was the topic of your conversation? You see, I think one of the areas for improvement that we have as people of God is not just disengaging and reading the Scripture, but it is changing the focus that we have as people when we're with others. And so whether it's at your work or whether it's at your home or with your friends or wherever it may be, the question for you to really think about is how often this past week was the Word, was Scripture, was the Bible the focus of my conversation? And how can I raise that? If it was none, then this week, how can it become one? How can it, one time this week, can the topic of my conversation be the Word of God? Because our goal is to allow the Word of God to occupy our hearts and our minds. And so we have to bring it to the table if that's going to happen. So if it's zero, how can it be one? If it's one, how can it be three, right? And so if we're talking about how to live a life that affirms the authority of Scripture, we've given two so far. Allowing Scripture to have substantial time on our calendars. The second, giving Scripture permanent occupancy in our mind and heart. And the third is to give Scripture a shaping influence in our life. Give Scripture a shaping influence in our life. If you have a problem today, how many options do you run to before you run to the scripture? Maybe you have a best friend. And you have an issue and you call your best friend and you say, "You're not going to believe what happened. Oh my goodness. Such and such happened and I just felt so bad and I didn't know what to do. So I'm calling you. What do you think I should do?" There's one option. Maybe you get on the television and look up Dr. Phil. There's two options. Maybe you call somebody else, mom or dad. There's three options. And what I've learned over the years is that we talk a good game about the scripture, but how often do we run to it for the solutions of life? And so if we want to live a life that affirms the authority of scripture, we have to come to the place where we are allowing it to shape our lives. And I can tell you that we struggle with this. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying we. I'm saying us. We struggle with saying that we believe the Bible, but very, very few times do we run to it when we have a problem in our lives. And so I just ask you the question. When you have a struggle in life, what shapes your solution? Do you run to the Word or do you run to something else? And I got to tell you, I am still working this out in my life. I know you look at me, I'm the preacher, I'm up here on the platform, I'm supposed to have it all together. I'm still working it out. I still fail in this area to allow the scripture to just deeply shape my life at times. In fact, this past week, one of the most bitter failures of late, this past week, I got to have lunch with this brother that I just love so much. And I've known him for years and we've prayed for each other and talked together. And I got to go have lunch with a dear friend of mine. He's a minister. He's moved back to the area. And so we went and we like to eat chicken wings. So we went to eat chicken wings. And this brother's spiritual gift is evangelism. I'm telling you, he will talk to anybody about Jesus at any place and at any time. And it does not matter. He just wants people to know the life giver. And he makes me feel small. And so we go and we're eating chicken wings. And my order comes. And I'm about to take the bite. And he begins ministering. So, right. And he says, "Ma'am, we're from churches. We're followers of Jesus. And we're about to just give thanks for the chicken wings." And I'm thinking, that's right. About to pray. That's exactly what I was about to do, was to pray. And he says, "Ma'am, is there anything that we can pray for you for?" And it's like God is just working. I look, and this young lady starts to get emotional. And she says, "I just found out that I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to be a single mom and I don't know what to do." And she's like starting to cry. And he's ministering to her, just doing a brilliant job. And she's like, "Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm crying in front of all these people." And he's ministering to her and he's, "It's okay. What's your name?" He gets her name, says, "Can we pray for you and your unborn child?" And we just pray. And I walked out of there going, and he has the gift of evangelism. And, you know, he has a very high gift of evangelism. One of the things that happens is that she comes back over and she says, can you just help me to understand? Do you do that with everybody? Can you just help me to understand? Do you do that with everybody? Because last night I just felt so overwhelmed. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I was worried about this pregnancy. I was scared. And I just said, "God, if you're listening to me, would you give me a sign?" I felt inspired, you know. I left out of there and I go, "Okay, God, you've given me my gifts." I preached on this like 6 weeks ago. I don't want other people's gifts. I want my gifts, but I want to love strangers better. That was the thing that I walked away with. I want to love strangers good. I want to love them well. I want to meet strangers and for them to walk away going, "I'm convinced that God loves me." That's what I walked away wanting to do. So I have another friend who's in ministry and we went to eat together. You know, there's a common theme. I like to eat. And so we get together, we're at the restaurant, and Luke brings over the food. That was the server's name, Luke. And so I decide I am going to let The scriptures teaching of the way that Jesus loves strangers well shape and influence my life. And I said, Luke, we're followers of Jesus. And we're going to pray in a second. And is there anything that we can pray for you about? And Luke says, yeah, that I make it to next week. I said, that's a fair prayer. And so we prayed for Luke and my friend ministered to him a little bit. And then we left. That was it. Now, I'm telling you, I'm still struggling with this. I'm still working hard to let Scripture every day shape who I am. And I kid you not, I was on cloud nine thinking to myself, I am super spiritual and I have it together. And then I walked into another restaurant. And I'm sitting by myself. And I'm eating my food. And another lady walks in, and she's got about 4 or 5 kids, and she orders her food and she sits down, and she had ordered just enough. I may not make it through this, and if I don't, forgive me, but just enough for each child to have one thing. And I'm eating my food, and the Lord says, go and bless that family. And I don't. And I can tell you, last week, I failed at what I'm telling you we should be doing. Because I ate my meal. I take a look at that family that God is speaking to me about. And I walk right out of the door. And I start my truck knowing that I have some repenting to do. And I did it. And so I know that it's one thing to stand up here and say it, but it's another thing to let the Word of God shape who you are. So I'm asking you this morning to think with me. And I have been through the gut-wrenching bitterness of allowing the Lord to teach me where it is that I still need the Scripture to shape my life. But I'm asking you to do that this morning. Is there a specific area in your life that needs to come under the authority of the Scripture?